sick people.
Creating optimal health.
Small changes that can add up.
A workout that I can do pretty much anywhere.
Good for health.
So on another subject entirely, are you sitting there by yourself this morning? All by yourself, having your coffee, all by yourself, watching TV, all by yourself? Yeah. You're killing yourself. Anyone who's ever heard their mother tell them, get out more. Maybe go see a movie with a friend. Yes, there's a health implication to that, but it may sound obvious, but the statistics are actually pretty alarming. Kate Daly, our good friend and Newsweek health reporter, is here in the studio with us. Good morning, Kate.
Good morning.
Tell us a little bit about some research that shows the importance of a social life may be about as important to your health as almost anything else that scientists look at.
Yeah. Scientists have known for a while that having social networks and having connections in your life have been good for your health. And recently, Brigham Young University did a meta-analysis of all the research that had been done in this field over the past decade or so. And they were able to kind of quantify the health benefits of having social networks. And what they found was that people with stronger social networks had a 50% higher survival rate than people who didn't have strong social networks. And that is equivalent to, you know, the benefits or the drawbacks, rather, of being an alcoholic, of smoking, being a heavy smoker, of being obese. So we're finding that having these relationships, whether it's friendships, whether it's work relationships, whether it's church groups, really does have a beneficial effect to your health.
I can certainly understand what the sort of cause is of ill health related to smoking. It makes your lungs filthy and fills you with toxins. Alcohol, turns your liver into a chemical refinery. But are scientists guessing as to what precisely are the mechanisms whereby having strong friendships, having a lot of social interaction, improve your health?
As far as the positive benefits of social interaction, there's still a lot of hypotheses about what it is that's causing this beneficial effect. We do know that there are negative chemical effects that have to do with loneliness, that when you're lonely or alone, your body produces more of a stress hormone called cortisol.
I've noticed that.
Which
It smells like cortisol around here. I could call up a friend.
That's serious.
You get rid of it with Corexit, actually.
It can lead to endocrine disorders. It can lead to heart disease. It can lead to a lot of just kind of poor stress response that takes toll on your body over time, leads to premature aging, things like that. As far as the positive benefits, one of the things that researchers might think is, seeing people's faces actually in person can lead to a sort of positive response.
And we're thrilled that you came into the studio because most of the time it's like guests on the phone in the headphones. And I mean,
that
cortisol.
Makes me sad.
Yeah, right. So yeah. Kate's here. Yeah. I'm feeling better. I'm feeling healthier.
Spreading the hormonal love here.
When we say social network, in other words, it's important to have actual friends whose faces you see instead of tweeting them all the time.
Well, that's a really interesting field that, you know, do Facebook friends count like real friends?
Okay, do Facebook friends count? No!
Well, and it's
over 300. No,
it's interesting because one of the mechanisms that researchers think might lead to improved health if you have like a very diverse social network is that you get a variety of opinions on how to deal with a health problem. So Facebook is actually a really great forum for that. You see a lot of people going on Facebook and saying, my allergies are out of control. You see new mothers saying, I can't stop my child from crying. And what you get is this very diverse set of solutions and information.
Well, that's interesting. So that has nothing to do with hormones. That has much more to do with relying on the collective wisdom of your friends on specific health issues.
Right. And I think what we're starting to learn is that the positive benefits of having friends have to do with collective wisdom. They have to do with your friends being able to say, you know, you've lost a lot of weight recently, or you're not looking great. What's going on? Mm-hmm. Has to do with when you are in the hospital, you have people come visit you and take care of you.
Right, right. You're going to probably throw something at me, Kate, but all right, if I wanted to start smoking, okay, and I wanted to mitigate the health impacts of doing that, if I started smoking but then got like 20 new friends, would that like eliminate the problem with smoking?
Are you kidding me?
No.
That is not. Yeah, no. It's a catchy kind of media buzzword or like a little catchphrase to say, oh, having friends is as good as, you know, or not having friends is the equivalent of smoking 15 cigarettes
right.
a day. But
I mean, there is a legitimate question of how do we evaluate statistical information like this, which on one hand feels obvious, but on the other hand, you want to be able to act on it.
Right. And I mean, the trick when studies like this come out is that you kind of have to look at what they're studying and how they compiled their results. And really, not use any of these studies as an excuse for bad health behavior. These should all be, you know, motivating smart choices, and not saying like, oh, well, now I can drink a lot more because I drink with a lot of friends. That doesn't really cancel one another out. But it does seem, I know some people do get frustrated, because to say go to the gym is one thing. To say be more popular is quite another,
right, and can be
kind of stressful.
Indeed. Do you have enough friends, Kate?
I sure hope so. My heart's depending on it.
All right. Kate Daly, Newsweek health reporter, talking about our latest installment in our DIY health series. Thanks, Kate.
Thank you.
And thanks for coming in. It really helps all of us.
Happy to see your faces.
NYC Now delivers breaking news, top headlines, and in-depth coverage from WNYC and Gothamist every morning, midday, and evening. By sponsoring our programming, you'll reach a community of passionate listeners in an uncluttered audio experience. Visit sponsorship.wnyc.org to learn more.